Chapter 52. Fren Prison, September 1941. The room is less than a room, slightly more than a cupboard, far taller than it is wide. It is almost completely dark, but there is a letterbox-sized hole near the bottom of the door through which a dusty ray falls to illuminate a small rectangle of floor and the mattress, loosely stuffed with straw. Alice's watch has been taken from her, but she is able to mark the passing of the days by the occasional interruption of a meal. The food is always the same, a thin, bitter broth. What it contains is difficult to distinguish. Not much that is edible, certainly. Alice found it hard to swallow at first, but now she longs for it. More as an interruption to the long hours than as sustenance. It is pushed through the opening in the door, often with some force, so that a quantity spills over the top of the bowl. One day Alice was so hungry that she was tempted to lick up this spilt portion, but managed to stop herself with the knowledge of how ill, and therefore how weak, it might make her. In the dark and the silence, thoughts grow loud. There are the good thoughts, those that remove her from her surroundings. These should be encouraged, and Alice forces them into being by invoking that party by the lake, the night she was reunited with Tom. If she focuses carefully enough, she can almost see the white mist that settled upon the surface of the water, and the way it bloomed pink in the new light of day. Occasionally, she travels back to that time in the boathouse when she first realized Tom's talent, or to that afternoon tearing down country roads in Aunt Margaret's motor car, the trees scorched by autumn, the clouds racing above them. Every once in a while she allows herself to think of Corsica, or of that morning in her attic room with the sunlight falling through to wake them, the sheets tangled around their feet, his thigh thrown over hers, warm and heavy. She must treat these memories lightly so as not to sully or bruise them, like all delicate things that are damaged with too much handling. There are the bleak thoughts, too. Thoughts that make Alice believe that she will be there forever, that she will never escape, that she will die in darkness upon this very floor without seeing anyone she loves again, without being able to say goodbye. It is vital not to let these thoughts take hold. Alice understands that these are the thoughts that could destroy a person more efficiently, more integrally, than anything her captors might do. 10 meals have passed before Alice hears it. At first, she assumes that it is inside her head, a projection of her own longing for company. But the more she listens, the more she becomes convinced that it is a real voice. Not just one voice, in fact. Another has joined it. And there is a peculiar sound, a scrape and a thump, clumsy, percussive. And in rhythm, she realizes, with the song. And she recognizes the melody, though her thoughts seem slow, and it takes her several bars to name it. They are singing the Marseillaise.